So many people think that one person alone can't make a difference. Well, Miriam Shaw is an example of the exact opposite. She's made a huge difference. In fact, her and a group of people that she encouraged are responsible for ending injection mandates and masking mandates at her child's school. She's now working to encourage parents all across the world to stand up, especially in light of these new mandates that are coming down the pipeline. She joins us right after this quick mention about our sponsors and the people that make this show possible at Heaven's Harvest. Very high quality, emergency survival food, buckets for every budget, including organic buckets, long-term water, and heirloom seeds. Please, please consider getting yourself some heirloom seeds. We cannot trust the food supply anymore. They're poisoning us from every angle. They've also got gardening resources on there. And if you use promo code Z with three E's, you'll get 5% off your order. But first, I want to talk to you about one of the sponsors of today's show, the people that make it possible for us to continue getting the truth out, and that is our friends at Tacrite. This is a great summer gift for doing work around the house. Tacrite with their mini chainsaw have a 50% discount available right now for Uncensored listeners. This new mini chainsaw is so small, it's mind-blowing. The new mini chainsaw makes tree trimming easier and two times faster. This is the easiest chainsaw to use that can even be operated with one hand. Thousands of Americans have bought this mini chainsaw for the summer, cottage, camping trips, and more. However, for Uncensored viewers, we were able to get 50% off from Tacrite. Visit TacriteSPN.com and orders will ship within one business day from the Tacrite warehouse in New York. Miriam Shaw joins us now. Miriam, thank you so much for joining us today. We really appreciate your time.
Thank you. So glad to be here.
It's great to have you. Well, let me tell you, I met you in Vegas and I was just absolutely blown away by your courage, your determination. You have not been deterred at all by the beliefs of some of the parents in your community, by the beliefs of some of the people in the school that you have educated really on the truth. But give people a little bit of background about how you actually started getting involved in activism and now having your own podcast.
Yeah, it's quite surprising. If you would have told me this was going to happen a year ago, I would have told you you're absolutely crazy. But what happened was my child goes to a Christian school here in Tulsa, and there was a discriminatory vaccine policy that was implemented at the very beginning of school. And my son was one of the many children who was exposed and was sent home because he sat next to the wrong person. Now, mind you, he had already had COVID, and he actually knew the data, and the Cleveland Clinic had a study of thousands, probably over 30, I think it was 30 to 50,000 patients, and it showed natural immunity, the power of it. And so I presented that data to the headmaster, and I rallied some parents together. We started meeting monthly. We started reviewing statistics and data and science, and we educated ourselves. We started going to the board meetings and speaking out. And within a couple of weeks, the discriminatory vaccine, well, I should say shot policy, was overturned. And it was just a matter of educating ourselves and then getting out of our comfort zone and getting together and speaking up. And so that's what we did. And then the podcast developed, the Moms on a Mission podcast, because I was speaking with my friend Clay Clark about some of the revisionist history I found and things of that nature. And he said, you need to start a podcast. And so I prayed about it, and that's what I did. I just thought I was going to be riding off into the sunset when my son graduated from high school and went to college and became a very welcomed empty nester. And that didn't happen.
Well, Miriam, I just think you've done a phenomenal job. And I think that right now we're in a position where people like you are making such a huge difference. We've got an elementary school in Maryland right now telling children that they need to be wearing masks, making those mandates again, and even determining what types of masks these children need to wear. The N95, which has now been proven to cause cancer. We're talking about mandating cancer-inducing masks for children. And what you're doing is empowering mothers and parents in general to stand up for these kids and say enough is enough. What have you found throughout your research that's really helped you push back against some of these measures in the schools?
Well, not only are they toxic, but they don't work. The COVID particle size is so small that it goes through, it travels through these masks, even the N95. And if you speak to any surgeon, you will find out that the reason why surgeons wear masks is not to prevent viruses from escaping the mask. It's to prevent water droplets from coming out of their mouths while they're operating. That's the reason why they wear masks. And so the science says that the masks don't work. Not only are they harming our kids because they're toxic and they're breathing in the toxicity from the mask fabric itself, but then also the carbon dioxide that's trapped inside there as well. So, I mean, the whole thing is preposterous. It's not scientifically proved. It actually is scientifically proved to harm our children. And what it's going to take is for parents to become educated and then to become bold and brave, because fear paralyzes people. And that is what the left and the globalists are using to cause people and parents and families to be paralyzed, because they're afraid of speaking out. They're afraid of being targeted. They're afraid of things happening to them. And we can't be afraid anymore because we have truth on our side.
Well, what's the flow and effect from being afraid? If we all sit down and take it, they will get away with their plans. Whereas if we actually stand up for what's right, we put a chink in their armor instead of the other way around, and we actually have a chance of defeating this. Now, you have been successful in multiple ways with the school that you were battling with, but not without consequences to you, I should say. What followed you actually standing up for the children?
Well, good things happen. They reverse the discriminatory vaccine policy. But when you do stand up, people don't like you. And it's nothing overt, really. It's just, friendships change, alliances change. The good news is that my son is being, has become very educated, and his friendships and things there have not changed. So really, overtly, things have not changed. It's just, you have people who walk right by you and you say hello and they don't answer you, or, things like that happen. And it's hurtful, it's saddening. But at the end of the day, I stood up for truth and I stood up for the kids. And that's what won, was truth won. And the folks who take it personally or deem it as an attack, it's sad, because I love the kids and I love my child and I want them to be protected and safe. And actually, I had a parent call me when this vaccine policy was initially in place. And she said, please make this stop. Please make this stop. I'm going to have to vaccinate my son so that he won't miss, playing football. And it wasn't just for me anymore. It was a mom, and she was representing many, many other moms. And I just said, okay, I'll do it. And I was going to do it anyway, but just there is strength in numbers, and there's more of us than there are of them. And if we can just realize that, and the perfect way to dissipate fear is to act. Action dissipates fear. Fear is paralyzing. And so if we act and we act together, that's when good things happen.
Well, I think we're in a unique position to do that now, because people are not as afraid as they were at the start. Where COVID is concerned, people have realized that for the most part, it's really not deadly. We've got well over a 99.9% survival rate. That was always the case, but now people are realizing that to be true. Most people who were injected have now caught COVID at least once, or at least the faulty PCR tells them they have. And despite Whoopi Goldberg's efforts and The View to convince people, I'm not sure if people saw that footage. I know you did. She turns up with a mask on in her own room, trying to convince people that this is normal. People are realizing that it's not, Miriam. So I guess my question to you is, people were perhaps more afraid to speak out at the time that you did, where that is a tremendous feat. You've got vaccine mandates and mask mandates overturned for the children in your school. You've literally saved the lives of these families. So thank you. But now we're in a position where people are not so afraid anymore, or do you think they still are?
Well, I think there is still some fear. I do believe that, but I also know that people are becoming educated. I talk to more and more people about this injection, and I'm seeing, you know, different blood clots and brain aneurysms and things like that. And it makes me so sad. But then I'm thinking about the folks and the kids who didn't take it because I stood up, and I'm so grateful for that. So I do believe that people are not as afraid, but I still think as it relates to some parents and in schools, I still think there is a level of that going on.
Do you think that this time around, if they really do try this on, and it looks like they're trying, that we will have more parents standing by their children and actually standing up for what's right, considering there's so much data now?
I do believe that. In fact, you know, you probably have seen all the memes online that said, do not comply, do not comply. I mean, those memes are everywhere, and I'm seeing parents post those. So I do believe going forward that people just know too much now. And I think there is an awareness of the numbers of people who know the truth now. And I think people are probably a bit more comfortable standing up now.
Well, here's what I think, and this is what I see. You were one of, or if not the only parent in your school standing up for the kids in a time where there was mass hysteria and mass fear, and you defeated that hysteria and that fear. So all it took at that point was one mum, one brave woman, and you won.
That's what I talk about. And it wasn't just me. Thankfully, there were so many other parents, I mean, dads as well. And I started a meeting. We had a private Facebook page, and we met monthly, and we would talk about data, what scientifically, medically, what was coming down the pike. We would talk about what was happening in our school. We started looking at curriculum. We met with the curriculum director. We were wondering, you know, not only health-wise, but what are we teaching the kids? And we started, you know, pulling back the cover, so to speak, to see what was happening there. And we found some disturbing things there. And so we just started asking a lot of questions. And really, it was a group of parents who were concerned and wanted to know and took the time to educate themselves and then to go to school board meetings and to stand up.
Right. So from your initiative, all these other people have found their bravery and found that they can actually speak up. I've been saying for the longest time, whatever it is that your sphere of influence is, if you're able, if you know, if you're involved in the school, if you're able to do something, do it. Start something, start a group, start talking to people around you, see who you can gather together, because it doesn't take millions of people. It only takes a group. Would you agree with me?
Yes. And, you know, I'm a Christian. I believe in the power of the word of God, and the Bible is so packed full of these individuals who just had one yes of obedience to God and the massive effect that happened with their one yes to the Lord. And you think about Moses, who was a stutterer. You think about Daniel, he had five stones and he kills this massive man with a rock. I mean, it's just mind-boggling to think of all that. And so I just, and you could look at Mother Teresa. I mean, you could look at lots of these, lots of people who are just one person, and this, how one person can change the world. And what happens is it's a ripple effect. So you stand up, and then other people say, oh, okay, well, I'm going to follow and I'm going to do that too. And so that's what I say on our Moms on a Mission podcast. And it's just the power of one person just standing up, and that courage. The Bible says in Joshua 1:9 to be strong and courageous. And it's a command that if you're a believer, it's a command. And that's what I believe that we're commanded to do, is to stand. And as we stand, we literally empower other moms, other parents, and grandparents to stand with us.
That's so amazing. I want to ask you, how have you witnessed, I mean, I'm presuming that you had people that were initially scared to speak out, but then joined you on your mission. What do you think the main barriers to them doing that are, and how have they overcome those?
I think one of the main barriers is fear, not just from maybe a retaliation from the school, which my child's school did not do that at all. But I think the main concern was retaliation and friendships. And I saw that happen with some folks who aligned with us for a while. There was just some stress in the friendships. And I think that was the concern, that life would not go on as it was, and it was creating some strain. And so I saw some folks kind of come in and then kind of leave and still believe and align, but they wanted to silently agree. And so I feel like that the whole COVID thing, I mean, you can talk to people, like people have lost friendships over their stance, They've lost family member unity, you know, over the stance. I mean, it's, the Bible says the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy in John 10:10. And that's exactly what COVID did. I mean, the globalists, they know exactly what they were doing, unleashing this virus from China and making it and distributing. I mean, they knew exactly what they were doing. And the effect was exactly what they wanted, was to divide us, because there's a reason why there's a saying, divide and conquer, right? So, I mean, that I think our nation, the division that we experienced during COVID was unlike possibly, I mean, maybe obviously the Civil War and things like that, but I think it'll go down in history as one of the most massive causes of division our country and America has ever experienced.
You weren't scared of that division?
No. No.
Why?
Because here's the deal. The truth is the truth, whether I want to speak it or not. So it really doesn't matter if I speak it, because it's always the truth. And the problem is that when your kid is in harm's way, when your kid is in the throes of this weaponization of our health system, the CDC, I mean, for the first time ever, we've had to say, oh, maybe the CDC does not have my back, you know? And so I had to speak the truth. I have no choice. I'm commanded to do it in the Bible. And then when my kid is in harm's way and they're encouraging him to get injected with this experimental mRNA shot, that the package insert is blank, and you want me to inject my kid with that? No, I was a former pharmaceutical rep. I've seen people die from antibiotics, just a simple antibiotic with a package insert. So you're telling me you're not going to tell me the ingredients, and you want me to inject that in my kid so that he won't miss school? It's not going to happen. And so I think ideally that is when parents stand up, is when their personal kid is in harm's way. The problem that I see is that, and the challenge that I want to throw out there is to parents to act before your kid is in harm's way, before this affects you, because it's not a matter of if, it's a matter of when. Everybody is going to be affected through, not just the injections, whether, you know, it's central bank digital currency, whether it's, you know, the land grabs of 15-minute cities. I mean, the tentacles are everywhere. It's in the school system, it's in the banking, it's in the housing, it's in development, it's everywhere. And so to think you're going to be able to dodge the bullet in education and say, oh, you know, I'll just wait till my kid gets out of school and graduates, and then I'll be safe. No, you won't. So you need to stand now.
Well, that's a very selfish approach. And, you know, people often wait until it affects them personally before they take action. Again, very selfish approach, because we're all affected by this at some point. The great reset, and you will own nothing and be happy, because Yuval Noah Harari says you're just going to be drugged until you don't feel sadness right anymore. I mean, that's coming for every single person unless they're aligned with the globalists. And so it's really an issue that affects us all. And so everyone that has the ability to make some sort of an impact in their sphere of influence needs to be doing that, because the flow-on effect of that will help everyone, not just themselves. So I don't think it's just about, you know, having children. I mean, I'm an example, Miriam, and this isn't me patting myself on the back, but I don't have children yet. God willing, I will one day, but I still need to defend the children. It's my human response. It's a human responsibility to be doing that. So I guess, I mean, disagree with me if you will, but it's everyone's responsibility, not just parents.
It is. And you are saying, what you're saying is so correct. And I want to add to that, that is, if we wait till it comes to our front doorstep, if everybody waits until it affects them, like if they don't have children, so they're going to wait until, you know, the banking goes digital and it's cut off because they didn't recycle their milk carton, you know, I mean, that may be an exaggeration about the milk carton, but that is the way things are going. If we wait until we are personally affected by this, it's going to be too late. Now is the time to stand up. Now is the time to be active. And what I say on Moms on a Mission and these Moms on a Mission podcasts is that, you know, everybody is at a different season in life. So, you know, we have a lot of moms, you know, that follow us. And so some moms are changing diapers. They have three kids, maybe, you know, ages 2, 3, and 4. And I cannot research as much, or I cannot leave the home as much. But you know what you can do is on a play date with your kids, when you go with three of their moms, you can talk to them. You could listen to a 30-minute podcast. Just listen to one podcast a day and educate yourself outside of mainstream media and outside of these propaganda messages that are coming through our TV. I mean, we all can do something. And so that's what I'm encouraging moms to do. Just do something. Just educate yourself once a day and talk to the people in your immediate circle of influence. And can you imagine if everybody did something in their immediate circle of influence? I mean, we could save our nation. We could save Australia. We could save the United States if everybody did something. And the time is now to act. There's a sense of urgency to do that today.
I agree with you. And I mean, for people that say they don't have time, and again, I'm not currently a mother, but I'm certain that there are periods of the day where you're, you know, even as a mum, sitting on your phone aimlessly scrolling. We all do it. Let's just be honest with ourselves. We all do it, and we lose a lot of time, you know, glued to these devices. In that time, we could actually be informing ourselves. So yes, sometimes it's information overload. I'm sure you understand better than anyone what information overload feels like, considering you've done all this research to go and protect these kids. But the information overload now, the time that you invest now will save us later.
Absolutely. And again, and I talk to so many people about this. I'm so analytical, and I'm like, why don't people act? I you know, this information that's coming down the pike and it's everywhere. Like, why do people sit there? And I keep thinking, because I'm trying to encourage action and to stand up. You don't have to start a podcast, but just act in your small circle. Why? And I think some of it is that people are driven by comfort, and you know, especially those who maybe are close to retirement or, you know, like the moms are exhausted, you know, with the kids, and they're like, I just want to do something mindless. I don't want to see how, you know, these countries are just getting destroyed. Like it stresses people out. And I believe, at least in America, our stats for anxiety are through the roof now. I mean, compared to years ago, I don't know what else to like, but, I've heard moms say and parents say, like, I just can't handle it. Can you just tell me what I need to know? You know? And so, I mean, I think there's a little bit of anxiety, and then I think there's a bit of comfort, and that, you know, it's work. Let's be honest. It's work to research. It's work. It's not just, you know, standing up and not worrying about fear, but also it's work to do these things. And so that's why I try to encourage people, just do what you can, just do something. But the time is now to act. There is a sense of urgency. And so that's what I'm trying to encourage folks to do, not just the moms that Moms on a Mission talks to, but also dads and grandparents. They have influence as well.
Absolutely. And the work now, again, everything, I mean, I can understand the overwhelm, and I'm not telling people to push themselves past their limits. You know, I have my limits. Sometimes I will put my phone to the side. You know, I have some days after 3 weeks of constantly being in the thick of it, I just have to go out into nature and my phone doesn't even come with me. I understand. But unfortunately, if we don't invest that time now and we don't do that work now, every single person's future is literally hell on earth. I'm not even exaggerating. You touched on a few of these things, which is CBDCs. It's the smart cities. It's the land grabs. This is happening everywhere around the world. We are seeing the Great Reset before our very eyes, and we need to do everything that we can to stop it. And then if people say, oh, well, it's going to happen anyway, what's the point? What do you say to that?
Well, again, I told you I'm a believer, and the Bible is very clear. Jesus said to occupy until he comes. And Revelation, everything that's happening right now, you know, I believe we are in the last days. I believe that's happening, but we are not supposed to just sit back and do, you know, nothing. We are supposed to call out evil, and you call evil, evil. And in our silence, we are complicit. And that's the truth, whether you're a believer or not. In your silence, you are complicit in the problem. And so it's our duty to stand up and act. It's our duty to call these things out, because like even the CBDC last November, Reuters reported that they were doing a pilot program in New York City with CBDCs. And I just happened to see that. And I thought, I wonder if people know. I mean, the 15-minute cities over in Oxford, England, those I was reading about that. And you have so many times you can leave your 15-minute radius. And then if it exceeds, it was like 200 and something you have given. And then if it exceeds that, you have to ask the government for permission. And so it's on our doorstep. I mean, we could even, you know, go to the whole, all the things that are happening in Maui and the land grabs there. I mean, literally it's coming at us from every angle. And my particular area is the schools and educating the kids. And so, but I also educate my son. I share with him, he knows all about the 15 minute cities in England, and he knows about, you know, what happened in New York City. And I just think it's so important. Even I think people think, well, I can't, you know, I can't run for office, I can't start a podcast. And they feel like, you know, if they can't do it all, then they can do nothing. Well, the most important thing to do is to educate yourself. Number one, just know what's going on, get off of the mainstream media and go to the alternative media where the truth is not censored, and educate yourself, educate your children, educate your friends, and, you know, just share with them some of the information. And I think if everybody did that, that the one thing, we would be in, you know, such a better state than we are right now.
Well, here's an example. I mean, I didn't just bring you on because you have a podcast. I brought you on because of the action that you achieved, right? So you don't have to be a podcaster or a politician to do something. I can give an example from Australia. I had Diana Abood. She's a mum from Sydney who noticed that there were problems with the Catholic curriculum in their area. And so she actually started talking to the school and raising awareness on some of these issues. For example, teaching that God is non-binary and talking about homosexual relationships to the children inside a Catholic school. This is completely contrary to the doctrine that's found in the Bible, which is supposed to be what this school's based on. And so she started raising awareness on this, got a group together. She's not a podcaster. She doesn't have a show. She's not a politician, but she's making a difference in that area, and parents are depending on her and working with her. And she's actually encouraged many people from that school and beyond that school. So, you know, what you just said is so crucial, Miriam. You don't have to be this or that to make a difference. No, you make a difference. And if you can't do podcasting, that's fine. A podcaster will get you on to talk about the difference that you're making. This is how it works. We all work together.
That's right. And, you know, I remember when I started kind of waking up to what was happening globally, not just in the United States, but how there is a global agenda and the Great Reset. And I just started realizing how this is all happening, you know, systematically. And I was talking to a friend, and I said, you know, can't we just get, you know, the right president in office? Can't we just, you know, looking for somebody else to solve this problem? And he said, General Flynn says local action creates a national impact. And I thought, oh man, that means I'm going to have to change what I'm doing. And I really did think about that. I considered the cost, and I thought, you know, this is going to take time. I'll be away from my family a little bit. But what is it going to produce? And what it's produced from an awareness standpoint is huge. And I think that if everybody thinks about it, like from their perspective, like, what can I do? What can I do in my circle of influence? And then just say yes and do what you know to do and what you can do, and not feel the pressure to go save the world, but just become aware, educate yourself, and influence your immediate circle.
Absolutely agree with you. I want to ask you about the impending mandates. You know, we're seeing more and more schools imposing these mask mandates. We're seeing hospitals across the United States. Now you have Jill Biden coming out announcing her medical status, even though she's boosted to the eyeballs, or so we're told. We mentioned Whoopi Goldberg before. Also, you know, that conversation from The View, we'll actually air that after this interview, Miriam, because I think it's important for people to see the justification these people are putting forward for someone who's, you know, quadruple injected and now has COVID allegedly. I mean, it's ridiculous. What they're doing is trying to normalize all of the people who are now sick because of their destroyed immune systems from these shots. And really the only solution is to mock this at this point. And we defeated monkeypox. We're going to defeat this again. But say that these mandates start creeping into your area or the area of the people that you're working with, what's the plan of action for you all? I think that's what people need to be left with here.
The answer is we will say no. We're not doing that. We're not wearing masks again. We're not doing that. People know too much now. We We had so much fear going on. There were some rumblings about masks not working. I mean, Fauci said it, and then of course he had to reverse that because that wasn't, you know, they couldn't control us enough with that, and so he reversed it. But he was right. Fauci was right in the very beginning when he said masks don't work. We're not going to mask people, and you know, control comes from these emergencies, and these executive orders come from these emergencies, whether it's the virus, whether it's climate change, whatever. And let's be honest, this variant is, I mean, Dr. Peter McCullough, brilliant, brilliant man. And he says this is like a cold, a glorified cold, like it's upper respiratory tract infection. It's like sinusitis or something like that. And it's so less virulent than it was the first strain, the original strain, when we didn't know a lot about it. It was stronger. And we just know too much. So in my pocket and in my neck of the woods, we are saying no to any mask mandates. We are not doing it.
That's fantastic. And I really think, you know, going back to, again, the point that we made earlier, you made a huge difference, just you and a few other people standing up when you have the masses saying no, absolutely. And I've made this point before. If every single employee walked out on their employer the day that injection mandates were imposed, and I think it was, if I'm not mistaken, Delta Airlines had said, no, we're not doing this, and all of a sudden the staff were called back to work some time ago. If every single employee around the world did, how long do you think it would be, Miriam, before employers were putting pressure back on the government to say, we can't impose these mandates. None of our employees will take the shots. We can't find anyone to employ that's, you know, that's injected. I mean, it would have been less than a week before right. The entire agenda was at a standstill.
Right. And that's what it's going to take. And I believe as people stand up that more people are going to join them. And that's what it's going to take, because there are more of us than there are of them. And when I think people realize that and they become awake and empowered and they stand up, I think it will be contagious. I think it will be a ripple effect that will ripple across our nation and hopefully Australia as well.
We need a pandemic of courage. That's what we need.
Yes. Yes. I like that. I love that, actually.
Well, Miriam, I just think I think you're amazing. I think you're an amazing woman, a great example of courage, and a great parent. Please let people know where they can follow you and support your work.
Yes. So Moms on a Mission podcast is literally on every platform, but we prefer folks to follow us on Rumble. So if you go to Rumble, and of course you're on Rumble as well, it's uncensored and we just love it there. So Moms on a Mission at Rumble, but we are on every other platform. And then our website is momsonamission.net. That's momsonamission.net. And you can learn about our mission there. And we love for people to leave their email address so we can connect with them. And then always we love when people have comments or questions. And that's moms@momsonamission.net.
That's mums, MOMS, for any of our Aussie viewers.
Yes, I wanted to say, I think mums on a mission sounds so much classier and cuter, but we're going to go with moms on a mission. But I do like mums on a mission. I think that sounds kind of cute.
Well, we're just so appreciative of your time today, Miriam. Thank you for everything that you've done. Thank you for standing up and being a true shining example in these times. I'm sure we'll speak to you again soon.
Thank you so much. Love being with you.
God bless.
God bless.
So during the interview, we mentioned this clip from The View. You've probably all seen it, but it's worth watching again to have a real moment to ridicule these people. Have a look.
So Whoopi is still under the thing. The COVID weather. Yes, this is her third bout, I believe, with it. But, you know, people write, well, she got the vaccination. How come she still gets it? Because she's not dead. She's just a little bit under the weather.
Right.
Okay? Exactly. If you don't get it and you get the disease, you might die.
Yeah.
So that's people out there. They keep writing that on Twitter.
They don't get it.
She's got it, and she's you know what I mean, and she's been vaccinated.
And before we had the vaccines, people did die.
A lot of the
millions and millions.
This type of irrational talk drives me nuts. But anyway, she sent in a little video for us.
Oh,
here she is.
Hey, in spite of everything you've heard, and let me just make sure you all know that it's actually me. See, it's me. I am not at Burning Man. I am not still in Italy. I am not, you know, doing stuff. I'm not trying to change the outcome of the election. I have COVID. I just have COVID. I'm still testing positive, apparently. I have to have a clear test before I can come back. So it might be a couple of days. But, you know, I'm really thrilled to see the beautiful new desk. I'm really thrilled to see all the beautiful women. You girls look great. And, you know, I can't wait to get back and hang out. But until then, it's me and my mask. And I'm sort of confined to my room. I've never been sent to my room like this at this age. But I've been confined to my room. But I just wanted to say hi and let everybody know that I'll be there as soon as I can.
So first of all, you're confined to your room. Why have you got a mask on if you're alone in your room? What are you doing? Secondly, do you notice how as she's wrapping up, she's grabbing her mask to put it back on to signal to people that they should be wearing a mask when they're home alone? I don't know if you recall Raina McIntyre from Australia telling people, this was a real thing that this woman said, to mask up their doors during the time of the government COVID propaganda so that, listen to this, the smell of their neighbors cooking wouldn't come through the doors so that they wouldn't catch COVID. The smell of their neighbors cooking was going to bring COVID to them. And recently we had that expert talking about the fact that now COVID was watching anyone who wasn't wearing a mask to jump on them. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. But I noticed that she actually spoke about the fact that, oh, I'm not a Burning Man. I'm not here. I'm not there. I'm not trying to interfere with the elections. What a strange comment to make and try to make a point of that. But also saying she's not in all these places. So really signaling to the public that the responsible thing to do is to not go anywhere and stay home and wear your mask. Jill Biden boosted to the eyeballs right now, testing positive. It's very reminiscent of the times in the middle of the lockdowns and the mandates where all these people came out and were constantly talking about how even though they were injected, they were catching COVID and publicizing their medical status to the world. What is this about? It's about normalizing the fact that people are getting sick from the shots and making you think that once you have thoughts in your mind about, well, how come I'm sick even though I've had the injections? Oh, it's okay. Whoopi Goldberg has it too, or Jill Biden has it too. And of course, Joe Biden is going to be following the CDC guidelines and muzzling up like an animal so that the rest of the world does it. But you know these people don't do this in private. We all saw the photos. We know about the scandals during the lockdowns, politicians holding parties, not following any of the guidelines that they asked the people to follow. And just like Miriam said in this interview, too many people are aware of this now, and I've made a point, and I'll keep making it, that we really need to mock the response of compliance moving forward, because at this point, it's hilarious, and I'm very, very glad to see the amount of people that are refusing to do this. And I know that the viewers of this broadcast are immune to this propaganda campaign and see straight through it, and you might also be encouraged by the fact that on Twitter, apart from a few brainwashed morons, most of the people on that particular video commented about how ridiculous it was, and that is exactly what it is. God bless you all. Thank you for staying true to the truth and sticking to your guns. I'll see you soon. Good night.